إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. Alhamdulillah ala ni'matil Islam. Indeed, it is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has guided us to Islam, and even more so to the Sunnah. This evening, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, in this, which is our 35th lecture, from the explanation of hadith from Bulugh al-Maram by Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, the last chapter, Kitab al-Jami', the Bab, Az-Zuhud wal-Wara', Az-Zuhud wal-Wara'. And this is the 36th hadith in the series from the beginning of the Kitab al-Jami'. The hadith of Sahal ibn Sa'ad, رضي الله عنه قال جاء رجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله دلني على عمل إذا عملته أحبني الله وأحبني الناس فقال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ازهد في الدنيا يحبك الله وازهد فيما عند الناس يحبك الناس رواه ابن ماجه وسنده حسن. This hadith of Sahal ibn Sa'ad radiallahu anhu, it's reported that he said a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, direct me, guide me to an action, a deed, an amal, that if I do it, Allah will love me and the people will love me. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, izhad fi dunya yuhibbuka Allah. That is, practice as zuhud, abstinence from the world and its pleasures and distractions and attractions and the things that are in the world of no benefit in the hereafter. That which is of no benefit in the hereafter. Izhad fi dunya yuhibbuka Allah. Wazhad fi ma inda nas. يُحِبُّكَ النَّاسِ. That if you abstain from the things of this world that have no benefit for you in the hereafter, Allah will love you. And if you abstain from that which is with the people, from their possessions, their wealth and their property, and their worldly possessions that they're in love with, if you abstain from that, withdraw from that, refrain from that, the people will love you. And this hadith is reported by Ibn Majah in his Sunan, and Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani said, حَدِيثٌ سَنَدُهُ حَسَنٌ. And some of the scholars said that if Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani had said حَدِيثٌ حَسَنٌ, it would have been more accurate than to say that the Sanad is Hasan, because the Isnad of this hadith contains a narrator by the name of Amr, who is said to be someone who fabricated hadith. And therefore the isnad of this hadith is not Hasan by any means. But rather, if he had said hadithun Hasan, it would be more accurate, because the hadith could be raised up to a degree of being Hasan, acceptable, due to other supporting narrations. And that's why Al-Imam Al-Nawawi rahimahullah and Al-Iraqi and Al-Haythami and from the contemporary scholars Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahumullah, said that the isnad, that the hadith itself is hasan, though the isnad contains a serious defect. Yani that the hadith would be rejected due to it, if not for other supporting narrations that strengthen the meaning of the text of this hadith, though the isnad is not sahih, nor is it hasan. In any case, there's a long discussion about this hadith, the chain, and those scholars who said that what weakness it contains, and other scholars, as we mentioned, Al-Imam Al-Nawwi and Al-Iraqi and Al-Haythami and others who said that the hadith is hasan. And the hadith is hasan, insha'Allah. Before discussing the explanation of this hadith, we'd like to review quickly the hadith that we discussed last week. And based upon the questions that were placed in the study guide for the hadith that we talked about last week. That is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, احفظ الله يحفظك الله يحفظك احفظ الله تجده تجاهك وإذا سألت فاسأل الله وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله. Be mindful of Allah, and Allah will protect and preserve you. Be mindful of Allah, and you will find Him in front of you. And if you ask for anything, ask from Allah. And if you seek help in any matter, seek help from Allah. The first question that we had last week is discussed the intended meaning of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam words, ihfadillah, be mindful of Allah. What is the intended, not the translation, the intended meaning of the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ihfadillah. Naam. Naam. Now, to protect, to guard, to preserve Allah's deen. By what? By fulfilling His commands, avoiding His prohibitions, and not transgressing the hudud, the bounds that Allah have set. Yani by observing the laws of Allah, the sharia of Allah. Preserve the deen of Allah by observing the laws, the sharia, the guidelines that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon us. And in that case, whoever does that, Allah will protect and preserve them. Question number two, mention two types or divisions of hifz, protection, that Allah gives to His obedient servants. Yani, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ihfadillah yahfaduk. Yani, be mindful of Allah, Allah will protect and preserve you. What are the types of protection or the hifz that Allah gives to His, two types of His, gives to His obedient servants? Now. Type, now? Worldly life, in his worldly life, in his affairs in the worldly life. Now, Jabir? And the affairs of the religion. Yani, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect the person in his worldly affairs, protect his body, his health, his well-being, his family, his wealth, and so on. And the other side, which is more important, is the protection of his deen, the protection of his iman, the protection from deviation, innovation, corruption, going astray, and so on. So that that person will remain upon Islam and upon iman and die as a Muslim by the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third question mentioned the second benefit one receives from being mindful of Allah, yani by observing His commands. What is the second benefit that one receives? The first benefit is that Allah will protect and preserve you. And the second benefit? Naam? Min jins al-amal. Naam, that's true. Al-jazaa min jins al-amal. Naam. The reward for any deed is like the deed itself. But in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned two things that a person would benefit from if they observe this command to protect and preserve the deen of Allah. Naam, Ali.
That Allah will be before you.
Allah will be before you. Tajidhu tujahaka. Allah will be before you. You'll find Allah in front of you. You'll find Allah as your guide, guiding you, showing you the way, guiding you to all that is good. That Allah will be with you. That Allah will be in front of you. Naam. And the Shaykhs discussed this in detail, but for the sake of time, yani, that's the essence of the meaning of what we are trying to remember. Question number four, discuss the two types of ma'iyah, that is the two ways that Allah may be with you, ma'iyah. Yani the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he said that tajidhu tujahaka means tajidhu amamaka, wa ma'aka. How will he be with you? What is the meaning of Allah will be with you? Two types of ma'iyah. Now,
general,
al-ma'iyah al-'amma, general. Now, that's for all people,
no.
All the righteous and unrighteous, believers, disbelievers, and so on. Now, and there's one that's specific, يعني المعية الخاصة. Two types of ma'iyah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that He is with this person or with that person or with these people, there are two types of ma'iyah. One of them is general. Allah is with all people. And the other one is specific. That is, that Allah is with specific people. And the general ma'iyah means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is muhit bi'amal al-ibad. That Allah surrounds, encompasses the deeds of the people, of all people. That He sees what they do, that He hears what they do, that He monitors them, and that He records their actions to call them to account for it. This is general ma'iyah. Allah is with you in the sense that He sees everything that you're doing, and He hears, and He knows, and He monitors, and He collects and accounts the deeds of the people. And the ma'iyah al-khasa is for the believing servants of Allah, that Allah is with them, in supporting them, in aiding them, in protecting them, in giving them tawfiq and so on. And that's the special ma'iyah, that's for the prophets and the messengers, and the believing servants. And question number 5, what are the two reasons mentioned by Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, why one should only ask Allah for their needs? Why one should only ask Allah? Now, Allah loves that you ask Him, and the people hate when you ask them. They don't want to give it up. The first reason, go ahead. Father Abdul Hakim.
Abdul Halim. I was going to say that because one would put himself in a position of poverty and
humility. The first reason is, number one, because Allah has everything that you need. All of your needs are with Allah. So why not ask Allah, the one who has everything, who can fulfill your every need? And the second reason is because the people, when you ask the people, you put yourself into a position of humiliation. You belittle yourself and you lower your status by begging from the people. And this humiliation or lowering yourself to the people to ask, this is a condition or a position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who has the right, that we should lower ourselves to Him. Because indeed this is an act of ibadah. It should be only offered to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We shouldn't humiliate ourselves or lower ourselves in front of the people. Rather, we should humble ourselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is the one who is able to fulfill all of our needs. Question number 6. When is the best time to ask Allah for your needs? And mention a dalil or proof for your answer. When is the best time to ask Allah? And there are many good times, yani, in al-awqat, that a person can ask Allah for their needs. Naam, Abdul Rahim.
At the last third of the night, And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to the lowest heaven and asks, what do you need so I can give it to you?
When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends ila sama' dunya, in the last third of the night, when only one third of the night is remaining, and Allah asks, who, and He has a request so that I may give them, and who seeks forgiveness so I may forgive them, and so on. Now, Jabir? In sajda is a condition or position, naam. But in any case, in sajda, naam, no doubt. Between the adhan and iqamah, no doubt. When a person is traveling, when a person is sick, and so on, there are so many conditions or situations. But specifically, the Shaykh mentioned in our discussion last week, this particular time in the last third of the night, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the sama' dunya, to the heaven above this world, specifically to ask the people who are in need, what is your need so that I may give it to you? What better time then to ask for your need to be fulfilled, then that a person get up in the last part of the night and pray a few rak'ah and then make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has specified this particular time to ask for your needs. Although you can ask Allah any time. Now, Laylatul Qadr. Now, there are special times, there's no doubt, that a person can ask, you know, seasons and months and places and so on. Tayyib, question number 7. Is there an exception wherein it is permissible to ask people for one's needs? Is there an exception? Yani, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. If you ask, ask Allah. So is there an exception to this when it's permissible to ask the people for your needs? Naam. Okay, if you ask the people, you should ask Allah first to soften the hearts of the people, to open their hearts to your request that you are asking from the people. Naam. But the exception when it's permissible even to ask now. Yani when a person has a dire necessity, he's in dire need. He or she is in dire need. Meaning this is something that you can't get away from. It's critical. You're in yani the absolute situation where you have no way, no other means except to ask. And in that case, it's permissible to ask. But even in that case, as the brother mentioned, you should ask Allah first. Ask Allah first to open the hearts of the people, because He's the one who controls the hearts of the human beings. And even in that situation, Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan said, and so did Sheikh al-Uthaymeen, said that if you can avoid it and make yourself free of the people and do not ask them, then it's better that you don't even ask, even if you're in dire need. And if a person understands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised that if you call me, I will answer you, and that whoever is in a tight situation, if you have observed taqwa of Allah, Allah will make a way out for you. If a person understands that this is a promise from Allah that's binding upon him, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. That's a promise from Allah. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ, then Allah will definitely يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah will make a way out. Allah say, call me, I will answer you. Ask and I will give. Then why should we ask the people if we can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Question number 8, mention the two divisions of isti'anah, seeking help from people, and the ruling for each. The two divisions of isti'anah, seeking help from the people. What are the two situations in which, or classifications of seeking help from the people, and the ruling concerning each of them? Qayb. Asking the people, those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only can do. That's shirk akbar. Asking the people that which only Allah can do. That's shirk akbar. Takes a person out of Islam. And the second type is asking the people those things that people are capable of doing. Like asking somebody for some money and they have some money in their pocket. Or asking somebody to intercede for you and they're in a position of authority. People can do that. And that's permissible. And there's no harm in doing so. But even in that situation, it's better not to ask him and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every need. If a person is able to reach that level of certainty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers the one who calls upon him. And the last question, how does Al-Imam Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah refute the Hululiyya, who use this hadith to argue their claim that Allah is everywhere, in every place? And the people who say that this hadith is a proof that if you are mindful of Allah, that you guard and protect Allah's deen, تَجِدْهُ تُجَاهَكَ, then you will find Allah in front of you. So if Allah is in front of all the people who are protecting and preserving His deen, then Allah is in everywhere. This is what these people argue. How did the Shaykh refute them? How did he refute them? With what? He gave three arguments. Just give me one of them. Naam. Okay, that's one. That it's not necessarily so that if something is in front of you, that it has to be in the same place with you. Because you can find a star at the time of its setting. You can look in the horizon and see the star in front of you. And though it's not on earth with you, it's high above you. Naam. So that's a proof that it's not necessarily so that being in front of you means it has to be with you. Naam. The second argument he gave. Second argument. That if we accept this argument that they are making, we will invalidate numerous proofs that are sarih and sahih, that are wadih, that are crystal clear, that prove that Allah is not on earth, that Allah is above the heavens, that huwa fawqa ibadihi, that huwa al-aala, that He is al-zahir, laysa fawqahu shay'in, and so on. So many evidences from the Quran and so many evidences from the hadith that are irrefutable, that prove that Allah is not on earth, that Allah is above His creation, that He is above His creatures, that He is above the seven heavens. So to accept this argument would negate and nullify all of these clear, authentic proofs. And the last argument that he gave? Tayyib. That was at the end of the class, right? Everybody was tired by then. Last argument the Shaykh gave, he said that if we accept for the sake of argument that there is some contradiction between our position that something can be in front of you and at the same time high above. If we say that there's a contradiction between these two realities in reference to the created beings, then it's not so in reference to Allah. Because Allah is not like the created beings. And certainly, Allah being in front of you does not necessitate that He has to be with you. If that was yani a necessity in reference to the reality of created beings, it's not a necessity in reference to Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, لَيْسَ كَمِثْرِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And this is the end of what, yani the main points that we discussed last week. And inshallah, tonight, the hadith that we want to discuss is very, very important hadith, which yani requires some careful examination. And may Allah yani make it easy for us to benefit from what we have here from the three explanations of the scholars. Sheikh Abdullah ibn Salih, ibn Abd al-Rahman ibn Salih Ali Bassam, rahimahullah, says concerning this hadith, izhad fi dunya. It is said, zahida fi shay, yazhadu zuhadan wa zahadatan idha lam yargab fihi. Yani this word, this expression, zahida or yazhad, as zuhud or zahada, is used in reference to the one who doesn't have any desire for a thing, has no interest in it. Huwa zahida hadha. He doesn't have any desire for it, has no interest, it's insignificant to that one. فَالزُّهُدْ خِلَافَ الرَّغْبَةِ. So zuhud is the opposite of الرَّغْبَةِ, having desire for something. Zuhud is the opposite, meaning you have no desire for it. In this case, we're talking about the dunya. And for this reason, the zahid has been named zahid, because he has no desire for the dunya. And Shaykh al-Islam al-Taymiyyah has defined as zuhud fi dunya as tark ma la yanfa fil akhirah. Yani leaving that which does not benefit you in the hereafter. Yani abandoning, forsaking that which is of no benefit for you in the hereafter. Though it might benefit you in this world. He said this is a zuhud. The Shaykh, he says, he's quoting from Al-Ihya, Ihya al-Umuddin by Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, who said, in spite of his, yani, whatever is upon him that we know of, in terms of using weak hadith and having some corruption in aqidah and so on and so forth, he says, az-zuhud in the dunya is a maqam sharif. Az-zuhud in this world is a very noble, honorable position. Yani the person who takes this position is in an honored position. Az-zuhud, abstinence from the world. And he says, and it is from the positions of the salikin, yani those who are traveling in the path of Allah, who are trying to get near to Allah. And this is an expression that's used in Sufiya, but in any case we know what it means. That's what it means. Az-zuhud, it is an expression that means that a person departs or leaves or goes away from or abandons any desire for a thing in exchange for that which is better than it. Yani I'm saying now, meaning that a person gives up the desire for the things of the world, for a desire for something that's better than that. The akhirah, the jannah, that Allah has prepared for those who give up this world. The Prophet ﷺ said, izhad fi dunya yuhibbuka Allah. That if you abandon or give up or withdraw from being connected to and drowning in and following behind and worshipping the dunya, doesn't mean you give up life in this world, but you give up those things that are of no need, that are not of necessity, that are not going to help you in your deen and not going to benefit you in the hereafter. If you give those up for the sake of Allah, this is a noble station and a high status that earns a person the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has been known, or specifically the name, the expression zuhud and the expression zahid has been used specifically for the person who abandons the world completely. And the one who abandons the world while having a desire for Jannah and the blessings of Jannah is also a zahid, he says. وَلَكِنَّهُ دُونَ الْأَوَّلِ. But he is less than the first one. Meaning the one who abandons the world just absolutely, unconditionally, is a zahid. And also the one who abandons the world but has a desire for the Jannah and the blessings of the Jannah is also a zahid, but less than the first one. And we say that no, rather, the one who abandons the dunya I say we say, meaning the scholars of Sunnah say, that the one who abandons the world while having a desire for the Jannah, that is the real position of the believer. That is the real position of the believer, while having a desire for the Jannah. Naam. He says, it is not zuhud to abandon wealth and just to spend it, yani generously giving it to the people. That's not zuhud. But rather, zuhud is abandoning the dunya due to the knowledge of the lowliness and the wretchedness and the insignificance of the dunya in comparison to the precious, priceless value of the hereafter. Meaning that a person recognizes the status of this dunya, that is nothing. That is nothing. If you go back to Surah Al-Hadid, 57th Surah of the Quran, I think it's ayah 20, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد. To the end of the ayah, where Allah says, وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. That this world is nothing, nothing at all, except لعب, sport and play, ولهو, and like just entertainment, recreation. Wazinatun, adornments and decorations. Watafakhurun bainakum, and just mutual boasting between one another of what I have and what he has and what somebody has. Watakathurun, and piling up of the wealth and children. This, the world is nothing but this. That's it. And then Allah ends saying by what? With the parable that came with that, and we don't have time to discuss it in detail. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. And this world is nothing but pleasures of deception. Yani the dunya, all of its pleasures and enjoyments are merely deception to deceive you, to distract you, to attract you, to take you away from your focus on the hereafter. If a person understands that, then they know the true value of the dunya. And this is a zuhud, to abandon the dunya because you know that it's worthless for that which is better than it, that is the hereafter, the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh says, quoting the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, izhad fi dunya yuhibbuk Allah. That if you, yani abstain from the world, the things that are not needed, that are not necessity in this world, then Allah will love you. He said, the Shaykh said, az-zuhud is leaving that which is of no benefit for you in your hereafter. And Al-Hafidh ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, said, az-zuhud in the dunya is three things. Al-Hafidh ibn Rajab said, the zuhud in the dunya is three things. All of them are actions of the heart. None of them are actions of the limbs of the body. All of them are a'mal al-qulub. Az-zuhud, he said, is three things, and all of them are actions of the heart. And none of them are actions of the body parts, the limbs of the body. The first of them is, أَنْ يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ بِمَا فِي يَدِ اللَّهِ أَوْثَقَ مِنْهُ بِمَا فِي يَدِ نَفْسِهِ. That the person, the servant of Allah, is more confident in that which is in the hand of Allah than he is confident in that which is in his own hand. Meaning that if a person has money, he's sure, I'm good to go, I got this. But the person who is a zahid is more confident in what is with Allah than what he has himself in his own hand. Because he knows that what Allah has guaranteed and what he has, Allahu A'lam, if he will have it tomorrow, or tonight, or 1 minute from now. And this is something to think about. And it's difficult. But in any case, this is what he said. And this comes from sihat al-yaqeen wa quwwatihi. This condition of the person being more confident in what is with Allah than what he has in his own possession, it comes from what? Having correctness of yaqeen. And strength of yaqeen, certainty in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed the provisions of His servants. And He has made Himself responsible to provide for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Uhud, 11th Surah, 6th Ayah, وَمَا مِن دَابَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقٍ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. That there is no creature in the earth except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responsible for its provisions. Except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responsible for its provisions. Allah is responsible for His creatures. He created them and He's responsible to take care of them. Whether animals are human, small or big, important or insignificant, in the water or on the land, every creature in the earth, Allah has guaranteed their provisions. Allah has guaranteed their provisions. And the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith that's sahih, and Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, mentioned in Jami al-Sahih, Jami al-Saghir, where the Prophet ﷺ said, لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ لَرَزَقُكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيِّرُ يَغْضُ خِمَاصًا وَتَرُوحُ بِطَانًا. That لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ, if you all had put your trust in Allah, حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ, that the way that you're supposed to put your trust in Allah, then Allah will provide for you the same way He provides for the birds. They go out hungry with empty stomachs, and they come back in full, with their stomachs full, provided for by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hadith like this are many. This is only one hadith, but for the sake of time, we can't mention them. For the sake of time, we can't mention them. But if a person knows this and believes this, that if you put your trust in Allah and depend upon Allah and have faith in Allah and are confident in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has guaranteed your provisions, Allah will provide for you the same way He provides for the birds. They don't have nothing stored up. They don't got no bank accounts. They go out in the morning hungry and they come back full. If a person has what? Tawakkul. Haqqa tawakkuli. In the way that you're supposed to have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second of those things is that أن يكون العبد إذا أصيب بمصيبة في الدنيا في دنياه من ذهاب ولد أو غير ذلك كان أرغب في ثواب الله ذلك مما ذهب من الدنيا أن يبقى له. That if a person is afflicted with a musibah, a calamity in his worldly life, like the loss of a child or something other than that, he is more desirous of the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that which he has lost. He is more desirous of the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in replacement for that which he has lost than he is to have that thing which he lost to remain with him. This is zuhud. Al-Hafidh ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, he said, and this comes from kamal al-yaqeen, the person who has complete and perfect certainty in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third of them, and yastawi 'inda al-'abd hamiduhu wa dhamuhu fil haqq, that it is equal to a person, the one who praises him and the one who blames him, the one who criticizes him, the one who finds fault in him, the one who praises him and the one who criticizes him is the same. If they are praising or criticizing him for the truth, it doesn't matter. Praise or criticize, it doesn't matter. Because the person is upon the truth, they don't care. They don't care who's blaming them. They are not concerned about this. And this is from the signs of a zuhud in the dunya. And that a person holds this world in contempt. And that a person has very little desire for the things in this world. For indeed, the person who finds the dunya to be great, this person prefers to be praised than to be criticized. So whoever finds that the one who praises them or criticizes them for the truth, for standing upon the truth, that they are equal, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. They stand upon the truth no matter whether you praise them or blame them. They're sticking to the truth. The person who finds themselves in that position, this is an indication that the status of the created beings is low, has fallen in the heart of that person. Meaning they don't think much of the created beings. But rather their heart is full of love for the haqq. And their heart is full of love for that which is pleasing to their Lord. Whether the people like it or not. And the Shaykh said that a zuhud in riyasa, yani in leadership and authority in the world, is even more severe, is even greater than the zuhud from a dhahab wal fidda, from gold and silver or wealth or things of the other things of the world. Meaning that the person who abstains from and has no desire for leadership or authority or position or status amongst the people, that's even greater than the one who's willing to give up the wealth of this world. So whoever has removed from his heart love for leadership in the dunya and the feeling that they are better than other people, then this person is the true zahid. And this is the one who it is equal to him, whether the people praise him or blame him for standing upon the truth. And then the Shaykh says in closing, Al-Wasiyah Thaniya. The second advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith, wazhad fima 'inda an-nas yuhibbuka an-nas, that if you abstain from that which is with the people, the possessions of the people will love you. Qala al-Hafiz ibn Rajab. There are so many hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanding the people to abstain from and refrain from asking people, begging the people. There are so many hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanding that one abstain from begging the people. And that one be free from the people, from being need of the people. Be free of need of the people. Commanding us to be free of need of the people. So whoever asks the people for that which they have in their possession, they will hate you and they will dislike you. Why? لِأَنَّ الْمَالِ مَحْبُوبٌ لِنُفُوسِ بَنِي آدَمٍ. Because the wealth of the people is beloved to them. To the inner being, the soul of the human being, loves wealth. Human being loves wealth. Therefore, whoever requests from them their wealth, they will hate you for that. As far as the one who abstains from what is in the hands of the people and refrains from what the people have, then the people will love that one and they will honor that one for abstaining and refraining from what they possess. A Bedouin said, who is the master of the people of Al-Basra? And the people said, Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah. He said to them, how did he become the master over the people? And it was said to him, احتاج الناس إلى علمه. The people were in need of his knowledge, Hasan al-Basri. The people were in need of his knowledge, واستغنَى هو عن دنياهم. But he was without need of their worldly possessions. Meaning the people, he had something that the people were in need of. And the people didn't have anything that he was in need of. So he became their master. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he says concerning this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Dullani ala amalin." Yani dullani means this is from al-dalala. Al-dalala means to guide or to point or to lead something to something. Al-irshad. Guide me to a deed which, if I were to do it, Allah would love me and the people would love me. Meaning that by doing this deed, the person will achieve the love of Allah, and they will achieve the love of the people. So he will achieve the love from both sides, from the side of Al-Khaliq, the Creator, and love from the side of Al-Makhluq, the created beings. And every human being loves this. Every human being loves that Allah would love him, and that the people would love him. أَمَّا الْأَوَّلْ فَخَاسِبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. But as for the first of them, it is especially, particularly, exclusively for the believers. The love of Allah is only for the believers. It's only for the believers. And as for the second, then this is general. Meaning, even for the kuffar. Yani, meaning, the people may love. Yani, a kafir may earn the love of the people. Now. And the people, and the kafirs love that the people love them. The Shaykh says, هَذَا سُعَالْ عَظِيمٌ. Yani this question that the man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a tremendous question. He said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or قَالَ لَهُ الرَّسُولُ, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him in reference to this question, abstain from the dunya, that is, اُتْرُكْهَا, leave it, لَا تَتَعَلَّكْ بِهَا, don't connect yourself or attach yourself to the dunya. But as we said in the previous hadith a couple of weeks ago, as the Prophet ﷺ said, "Kun fi dunya ka annaka gharib aw abiru sabil." Be in this world as though you are a stranger, or one just passing through. You're not connected. Your heart is not connected to the dunya. You just what? Passing through. Or you're a stranger. You're not from this land. You're not attached to the people. You're not building houses, collecting wealth, doing something like the people who intend to be here permanently. But you're a stranger, who's somebody who's not from the land and not from the people and just passing through. Going on your journey to the return to your Lord and what He has in store for those who believe. The Shaykh said, leave it and don't become attached to it. If it came to you, then it came to you. And if it passed you by, then it passed you by. Don't tie yourself to the dunya. Yani if it came, good. And if it didn't, good. Doesn't matter. Because your heart is not attached to it. Izhad, abstain from the dunya and Allah will love you. And this is because, and this is very important what the Shaykh says here. Abstain from the dunya and Allah will love you. Why? لِأَنَّهُ مِنْ لَازِمْ الزَّهَادَ فِي الدُّنْيَا الرَّغْبَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ That abstaining from the dunya, it necessitates that a person has a desire for the akhirah. The one who abstains, who withdraws, who abandons, who refrains from the dunya, it necessitates that that person will have a desire for the akhirah. وَإِذَا رَغِبَ الْإِنسَانِ فِي الْآخِرَةِ فَسَوْفَ يَعْمَلْ مَا يَرْضَ اللَّهِ And if a person has a desire and aspires for the hereafter, then that person will do the deeds that are pleasing to Allah. How can you desire the hereafter and you don't do the deeds that are pleasing to Allah? Unless you're insane. The person who desires the hereafter knows that they have to do that which is pleasing to Allah to get that. وَإِذَا رَغِبَ الْإِنسَانِ فِي الْآخِرَةِ فَسَوْفَ يَعْمَلْ مَا يَرْضَ اللَّهِ They would definitely do those things that are pleasing to Allah. وَيَكُونُ سَبَبًا لِعْمَحَبَّتِهِ And this will be the cause of earning the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By doing what? The deeds that are pleasing to Him. So in this way, the love of Allah for the person in this world, it becomes, it's necessitated by the person doing the deeds that are pleasing to Allah. Whenever a person abstains from the dunya, of necessity, that person must have desire for the akhirah. And in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would love him. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, abstain from what is in the hands of the people, and the people will love you. This is also min al-wasaya al-azima. This is also from the tremendous great advices from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't look at what is in the hands of the people. Abstain from it. Refrain from it. Withdraw from it. Abandon it. Be indifferent to what's in the hands of the people. Like you have no concern for what they have. Because it's not yours and it will not benefit you what's in their hands. So don't concern yourself with it. But abstain from it in order that the people, when you do so, then the people will love you. The Shaykh says in this hadith, fil hadith fawaid. In this hadith there are many fawaid, benefits. The first of them is the eagerness of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, for istiqamah, for uprightness, wa su'al an subliha, and that they used to ask on the ways to achieve istiqamah. They were eager to be upright, and they used to ask, what are the ways that we can achieve it? They used to ask about it. Okay, this is a lesson for us. This is a great benefit, that if the people really want to be upright, then they have to seek it. They can't wait for it just to come to them. But you have to ask, inquire, study, research, work, act, practice, do something in order to achieve al-istiqamah. And this is proven by the fact that the man came to the Prophet ﷺ and asked him, how can a person earn the love of Allah and the love of the people? And also from the benefits of this hadith is that the words of the Prophet ﷺ are kalimat jami'a, comprehensive words. In this simple expression, izhad fi dunya. This is a very summarized, brief expression. But yet it contains abstaining from wealth, abstaining from position or status, abstaining from the vehicles and means of transportation, abstaining from the housing and places of residence, abstaining from everything that's in this world that is not of necessity. And if a person were to attempt to count or enumerate all of the things that are connected to this dunya, they would become tired from trying to count them. While the Prophet ﷺ has gathered them all together in this one word, izhad fi dunya. And from the benefits of this hadith, and this is from our aqidah, and this is the most important thing, our aqidah. From the benefits of this hadith is ithbat mahabbatillah, the confirmation or the affirmation that there is love. That love is a characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is based on the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, if you abstain from the dunya, يُحِبَّكَ اللَّهُ Allah will love you. And the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah confirm that Allah loves, mahabbatan haqiqiyatan. That Allah loves with real love. With real love. It's real love. But it's love that is appropriate for the majesty and the greatness and the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His divinity. It's not love like the love of the human beings. The characteristics of Allah are real characteristics, but they are characteristics that are suitable to the divinity and the majesty and the greatness and the glory of Allah. And they are not characteristics that are like the characteristics of the created beings. But it's love, real love, na'am. The Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah confirm love as a characteristic, a real characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while the Ahlul Ta'atil, those who empty the names of Allah from their meanings, yani who negate the meanings of the names of Allah in denial of them, they say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ. Allah doesn't love. وَأَنَّ مَحَبَّتُهُ كِنَايَ عَنْ ثَوَابِهِ. That when the word love is used for Allah, this is only a kinaya, an indirect expression that really means His reward. If Allah says He loves somebody, it means He's going to reward them. فَيُفَسِّرُونَ أَشَيْءٍ بِلَازِمِهِ مَا إِنْكَارِهِ. So they define the thing with that which is necessitated by it. Meaning that if Allah loves you, Allah will reward you. But they have emptied, they have denied the love itself and only given it the meaning of what comes with it. While denying love itself. And this is how they do. They deny that Allah has hands. But they say hands means power. They deny that Allah descends. But they say His mercy descends. And so on and so forth. This is their interpretations and their way of denying the names of Allah and the sifat of Allah. And this is what takes a person away from Islam. And away from the Quran, and away from the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ, until they deviate. And some of them go so far into deviation, some of them go so far into deviation that they go out of Islam. And from the benefits of this hadith, is that whoever doesn't abstain from the dunya, and they connect themselves to the dunya, and the dunya becomes the most important concern that they have, then this will be from the causes of nullifying and negating from them the love of Allah. Yani, failing to abstain from the dunya, connecting yourself to the dunya, making the dunya the most important concern that you have, will be the cause of losing the love of Allah. And this is understood from the words of the hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from the benefits of this hadith is al-huth ala zuhud fi dunya. That this hadith also contains the encouragement that a person should abstain from the dunya. And that is because if abstaining from the dunya is a cause or a means to achieve the love of Allah, فَلَا يَنْبَغِي لِلْعَاقِلِ أَنْ يَفُوتُ هَذَا. If we know that abstaining from the dunya is the means to achieve the love of Allah, then it's not proper, it's not befitting of the aqil, the person who has sense, who's intelligent, who's sane, it's not befitting of that person to let this pass him by, to let the love of Allah pass you by. If you know that this is the cause of earning the love of Allah, how can you let it pass you by? Unless you are not aqil, you are ghayru aqil. Where's somebody from Arabic class? Ghayru aqil. Right? Allahu Akbar. And the Shaykh says, finally, this hadith, and the benefits of this hadith, is the encouragement of zuhud, yani abstaining from that which is in the hands of the people. And why is this so? This is so because this is the means of achieving or earning the love of the people. If a person doesn't abstain from what the people possess, then the people will begin to despise you and think little of you, and they will not love you. For example, a person, every time he sees someone with that which he likes, he says to him, هذا جيد. That's nice what you have there. Why? He wants the person to give it to him. He says this so that the person will give it to him. So the person said, تفضل. In some of the Muslim countries, this happens. The person says, that's جيد. The person says, تفضل, take it. We don't do it in America. It don't work here. Tell somebody, that's جيد. They say, yeah, and that's right, it's جيد. And get away. If the person doesn't give it to them, the Shaykh says, they take it to the next level. They say, have a zain. Atini hada. This is nice, man. Give it to me. They actually just start begging outright now. Not even indirect no more. They get right to the point. Give it to me. And this is so that the person will give them that thing. And there's no doubt that many of the people, if they see somebody like that which they have, they will give it to them. unless it's from those things that they need out of necessity. But eventually in time, this will begin to annoy that person. And perhaps they will begin to hate that person, even if it was somebody who was a worshipper, who was worshipping Allah. Even if it was somebody that they originally loved for the sake of Allah, that love will begin to dwindle. And then there are other people who they ask for the wealth of the people, not to keep it, to own it, but they ask to borrow it. And perhaps they're not even in need of it, but they are sick. They have a sickness in their heart. And they just are desirous or covetous of whatever is in the hands of the people. They don't have no need for it, but they just want it. Let me borrow that. Let me borrow this. Every time you see them, they want to borrow something. And this, there's no doubt, this will cause, yani, this will cause the person, the love of the person, the people to decrease for that person. And from the benefits of the hadith, and this is the last thing the Shaykh said, is that it is proper and befitting of a person that they strive in to achieve, to in those things that will help you to achieve the love of the people. That person should try to achieve the love of the people. And the proof of this is that the Prophet ﷺ confirmed and agreed to what the man said when he said, teach me something that will help me to earn the love of the people. The Prophet agreed to this. Otherwise, he would have said to him, don't worry about whether the people love you, whether they love you or they hate you. The Prophet would have said that if there was something wrong with what the man said. But he didn't tell him that. He told him how to do it. He told him how to do it. So it is proper and befitting that a person try to do whatever they can do within the bounds of what Allah has legislated to earn the love of the people. Every means that will necessitate earning the love of the people, they should seek it. But the bounty of Allah is for whoever He gives it to whoever He wills. And sometimes a person just doesn't have the ability to do this, yani to earn the love of the people. But in any case, it's expected and proper and befitting that a person, if he doesn't have this in his nature to do so, then he should try to take on this characteristic of doing the things that will earn the love of the people. And we still have a few minutes remaining, and I'm going to close with the Sheikh, Sheikh Shalih Fawzan. Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. His yani explanation of this hadith, he says, in his brief, the Sheikh says, هذا حديث عظيم وهو من جوامع الكلم وهو من الأحاديث الأربعة التي تدور عليها قواعد الإسلام كما سبق. This is very important. We should have started with this statement of Sheikh Salih Fawzan in the beginning. هذا حديث عظيم. This is a hadith that is azim. Tremendous, great, magnificent hadith. And it is from the comprehensive speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning the thing that he said in a few words have great meaning, tremendous meaning. And it's from those four hadith that the foundations of Islam center upon. And from amongst them that we took previously, right? إن الحلال بين وإن الحرام بين وبينهما أمور مشتبهات. And we mentioned this same statement and that hadith when we discussed that hadith. This hadith is a very important hadith. He said, here Sahal ibn Sa'ad asked the Prophet ﷺ saying, guide me, yani direct me to a deed. If I were to do it, Allah would love me and the people would love me. هذا كلام جامع. Even this question is a comprehensive word, speech from the questioner. And the Prophet ﷺ said to him, abstain from the dunya, Allah will love you, abstain from what is with the people, and the people will love you. This answer of the Prophet ﷺ is kalimat jami'ah, mukhtasara. Yani words that are very comprehensive, yani bringing everything together in them, though they are summarized, brief, mukhtasar, few words. Az-Zuhud, the meaning of it linguistically, the Shaykh says, Az-Zuhud ma'nahu, عدم الرغبة في شيء. This is the linguistic meaning of الزهد. Not having desire for something. And he based this definition from the saying, from the ayah from the Quran in Surah to Yusuf. Where Allah Jalla wa'ala says in Surah 12, ayah 20, وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ. Yani, that when Yusuf alayhi salam brothers sold him for a few coins, Allah said, subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them, وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ. That they, when they sold him for a few coins, they didn't think much of him. They sold him for a few coins. And they had no desire for him. This is the linguistic meaning of الزهد. Not having desire for something. He says, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah says, الزهد is تَرْكُ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكَ fil akhirah. And we mentioned this before. The Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, and this is one of the very important definitions of a zuhud, that is giving up, withdrawing from, abandoning, abstaining, or refraining from, that will, which will not benefit you in the hereafter. If a person can begin to live like this, start giving up the things that you know are of no benefit for you in the hereafter, then you will come close. You have to start somewhere. Let's start looking at what we have that is of no benefit for us in the hereafter. What we are doing, that is no real benefit. Starting with, for example, listening to music. Rather, that's not even from zuhud, because that's not only of no benefit in the hereafter, it's of the things that harm us in the hereafter. It's of those things that harm us in the hereafter. Watching movies, looking at television, reading newspapers all day. Person spend 2 hours reading a newspaper, and don't even spend 2 hours reading the Quran. How can you justify that? How can a person spend 1 hour reading a newspaper and don't spend 1 hour reading the Quran? Rather, it is more right that a person should spend 1 hour reading the Quran and 1 minute reading the newspaper. Not equal. But we got it twisted. Real twisted. Let's start giving up the things that have no benefit in the hereafter. The Shaykh says, from those things that are necessitated by a zuhud in the dunya, is adam ta'alliq al-qalb biha, that a person's heart is not connected to the dunya. Meaning, begin to work on the heart, so that our heart is not connected to the dunya. We are not in love with the dunya. We are not like abd al-dinar wa dirham, the slave of the wealth. As the Prophet ﷺ said, ta'isa abd al-dinar wa dirham. Humiliated is the one who's a slave to the things of this world. The gold coins and silver coins and the things of this dunya. Can somebody help me with that? And from those things that are necessitated by zuhud in the dunya, is that a person's heart is not connected to this world and the worldly things. And that a person does not run behind the things of the world. Running behind the things of the world. And that a person does not have a craving for the things of the world. But rather, إِنَّمَا يَأْخُذُ الْمُؤْمِنُ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا بِقَدْرِ مَا يُعِينُهُ عَلَى دِينِهِ وَقَدْرِ مَا يُغْنِيهِ عَنِ النَّاسِ. That the believer takes from the things of this world. What does the believer take from the things of this world? That which will, just in the amount that's necessary, to help him and support him in his deen. What's necessary in order to support you in your deen? And that which, the amount that's necessary, in order to make you free of need of the people. So you don't need to ask the people. You don't want to have nothing and you got to go around begging every day. But get something of the world that will help you in worshiping Allah. And something that will be sufficient for you so you don't have to ask the people. Now, as far as piling up the things of the world, then this will busy the human being. Perhaps it will make you, the piling up of the things of the world, it will be in competition with your deeds for the hereafter. Yani you will be deciding, should I pray an extra prayer or should I go back to work early? Should I go to the masjid and make salah? Should I close up my shop? Or should I keep it open? Some of the businessmen, they have the choice. They're fighting between what? Should I go to the masjid and pray? And a customer's getting ready to come in here. I'm getting ready to lock the door. Hups. Go to the masjid. Nope. Open it back up. Huh? So the things, the piling up of the things of the world begins to become in competition with your striving to do deeds for the hereafter. Or it may busy you completely from doing the deeds of the hereafter. Maybe you just forget about the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. That don't be like the people who forgot Allah, so Allah caused them to forget themselves. They forgot to worship Allah, so Allah caused them to forget to do what they needed for the hereafter. The dunya has no limit, and the things that are desired, that are coveted in this dunya are many. So if a person opens the door of the desires of the things of this dunya, then there will be no end to it. There will be no end to it. A person, and by the way, the Prophet ﷺ said, لو كان ابن آدم, لو كان لابن آدم وَادِيَان مِنْ مَالَ أَوْ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ. Even if the human being, the son of a human being, had two valleys of wealth or gold, لا أحب أن يكون له ثالثا. He will want a third one. It will not be sad. Two valleys of gold is not enough. Now I got to get a third one. No matter how much you get, this is what the Sheikh is saying here. There's no limit to it. There's no end to it. Once you open the door, khalas, you're finished. A person might be afflicted with a sickness, and that person is not able to eat and drink due to their sickness, and yet they are still running behind the dunya for fear that something of their wealth will be lost. It will get lost. You won't be able to find it. Or that some of their wealth will be at loss, meaning it will be decreased. So you find that person busied with the dunya, while that person is mahroom, yani is deprived of the pleasures and the joys of the dunya due to the sickness that has afflicted them. And yet they still running after the dunya. Or a person doesn't have time to sit and eat and drink and sleep and take rest because they fear that some of their wealth will be lost, or some of it will be decreased, or some of it will be stolen, or other than that. And I have met many people like this. They don't have time to sit. They don't have time to go home and eat with their family because they're too busy running after the dunya. May Allah protect us from that. Ameen. So if a person opens the door of desires of this world upon their self, they have opened the door of ittab and mashakka ala nafsi. That person has opened the door of difficulty and hardship on their own self. As far as the person who abstains from the dunya, waqtana'a bima yu'tihi Allah minha, but they are satisfied with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them, then this person will find rest. And their sustenance will be blessed. And they will enjoy their food and their drink and their sleep. And this is the result of abstaining. Yani, not trying to pile up the things of the dunya and not running behind it. And in a hadith, it's a long hadith, but part of it that's appropriate, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah would test the people by what He gives them. Yani, by what the sustenance that He gives them. فَإِنْ رَضِيَ بِمَا قَسَّمَ اللَّهُ قَسَّمَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بُورَكْ لَهُ فِيهِ وَوَسَّعَهُ. But if a person is pleased with what Allah has given him, then what he has been given will be blessed and it will be also expanded, yani increased. And if a person is not pleased with what Allah has given, they're not content with it, then it will not be blessed and they will get no more than what has already been written for them. No matter how much they strive for the things of this world. And then the Shaykh says, and what is more great than this, than what he just mentioned, that is, yani when a person is content with what Allah has given them, they will find rest, and their sustenance will be blessed, and they will enjoy their food and their drink and their sleep. And this is the result of what? Of not seeking to pile up the things of the world, and not running behind the dunya. He said, what is greater than that, is that they will also, if they abstain from the dunya, they will earn the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هذا فيه وصف الله بأنه يحب جل وعلا. The Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, he says, in this statement, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been described as one who loves. يحب العباد الصالحين. He loves the righteous servants. ويحب الأعمال الصالحة. And he loves the righteous deeds. Allah loves the righteous servants and he loves righteous deeds. Yusuf Allah Jalla wa Ala bi annahu yuhib. Allah has been described with being one who loves. Hadihi min sifat al-af'al al-thabita lillahi azza wa jalla. Wahuwa mahabbatun taliku bi jalalihi. Laysat kam mahabbat al-makhluqin. Kasa'ir sifatihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here the Shaykh gives us a brief statement of the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning the sifat of Allah. He said Allah is described with loving. And this is from the sifat of al-af'al, yani as-sifat al-fi'liya, as opposed to as-sifat al-dhatiya, that Allah has descriptions or characteristics or qualities that are related to His that, His divine being, that is with Him all the time and always was and always will be. And then He has sifat al-fi'liya, which are connected to His irada, things that He does when He wills, however He wills, to whoever He wills. And He only does it when He wills. And these are actions that He does when He wants. And He doesn't do what He doesn't want. And these are two different types of the sifat of Allah. Al-dhatiyya, like His face and His hands and His knowledge is permanent. And then He has sifat fi'liyya, like His descending and ascending and so on. In this case, His loving and his hating and being pleased and so on and so on. And these are from the sifat of the actions that are confirmed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is a love that is suitable and appropriate and befitting of the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is not like the love of the created beings. And this is the case with all of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His sifat are not like the sifat of the created beings. And then the Shaykh says, and if you abstain from what the people have, and do not have your desires connected to what is with the people, yani to the wealth of the people, and don't let your heart be connected to what is with the people, and don't be looking at and staring at and gazing at and striving for what is in the hands of the people. If you do this, if you connect yourself and your heart and strive for what is with the people will hate you. But if you abandon asking them for what they have and don't seek to achieve or ask for what they have, the people will love you. And this is because they will find rest from you. When you don't want what they have, they will be at rest. They don't have to worry about you. When they see you coming, they don't worry. Some people, when they see you coming, they're trying to go the other way. Here he comes. Let me get out of here. Huh? But when they see you don't want what they got, they're at rest with you. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban. All of that. Come on. You don't want what I got? I love you. So whoever abstains from what is with the people, and their heart is not connected to what is with the people, then, and they do so in order to earn the love of the people, then you will do that. And whoever wants to earn the hatred of the people, then seek their wealth. Ask for their wealth. And you will find their anger and their irritation and their annoyance. And the Shaykh closes, and this is what we close with. وَهَذَا حَدِيثٌ مِنْ قُوَاعِدِ الْعَامَةِ الْمُفِيدَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. This hadith is a beneficial general principle from the qawaid of Islam, the foundations of Islam. Meaning that this is something that we need to study, we need to reflect upon, we need to examine, we need to investigate, we need to look at our own selves and see if we can take this principle. Abstain from the dunya and Allah will love you. Abstain from what the people have and the people will love you. If you want to achieve the love of Allah, abstain from the dunya. And if you want to achieve the love of the created beings, then abstain from what the people have. Do not ask them for their wealth. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any questions specifically related to what we discussed tonight, we can take a couple of questions. Otherwise, inshallah, we will take questions next week. Inshallah, brothers and sisters, we sent out email surveying the brothers and sisters whose names are on the call out, the email list for this class. And we asked the brothers and sisters, inshallah, in light of the late hour of this class after Isha, and we used to have the class after Isha when Isha was very early, and then when Isha got late, we had it after Maghrib, and now Maghrib is even late, so we have to change the time of the class to before Maghrib. So inshallah, we ask the brothers and sisters to give us a preference if you would like to start the class at 6:30 or 7 o'clock. And most of the brothers and sisters said 6:30, and a lot of brothers and sisters also said 7 o'clock. So we're going to try to make a little compromise in between. We're going to start the class at 6:45. We're going to start the class at 6:45 starting next week. Inshallah, I know it may be difficult for some people. It might be a little early. For other people, it might be late. Whatever, we're doing the best that we can. Inshallah, next week, the class will start at 6:45. And inshallah, if anybody has any questions, we'll take a couple of questions right now. Now, Talib.
When Allah says he loves, means he rewards?
The Ahl Ta'atil, the people of deviation who negate, who nullify, who reject the names of Allah and the sifat of Allah by emptying them from their meaning. Sometimes they give it a new meaning. They interpret it to some other meaning. They say that Allah loving means that Allah rewards. That Allah doesn't really love. Because love is a characteristic of created beings. And we don't want to compare Allah to the created beings. So we say Allah doesn't really love. That's what they say. But rather when Allah says He loves, then it means that Allah is going to reward those who He said He loves. That's their interpretation. But we say that Allah says He loves, He loves. But His love is not like the love of the created beings. His love is divine love. It's a love that is suitable, befitting of the majesty and glory the divinity and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'am,
akhi. Can you say the two sifat of Allah, the way it differs in that? Can you explain that one more time? I didn't really get to catch it.
You mean the way the people view this sifat of Allah? Yeah, we say that here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this place, and Allah says in the Quran in so many places that He loves. We say that the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah say, they confirm love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say that Allah said He loves, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said He loves. We confirm whatever Allah describes Himself with, and whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes Him with. We confirm it. We don't give it a new interpretation. We don't distort its meaning. We don't empty it of meaning. But rather, we confirm its meaning in a way that is befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah is divine. So we don't give it a meaning, or we don't understand it in a way that would make the sifat of Allah like the sifat of the human beings. It is love. But it's not like the love of human beings is imperfect. Huh? The love of the human beings is imperfect. Person may love you for no reason at all, even though you didn't do nothing to them. And tomorrow they may hate you for no reason at all. A person may love, for example, a woman loves a man because he looks good, even though he's a criminal, a mujrim. Maybe he's a kafir, a mushrik. Okay, that love is defective love. So it's love, yeah. And Allah also loves, but Allah's love is real love that's based on His divinity, His perfect knowledge and justice. So when Allah loves, He loves for a reason. He loves the people who do righteous deeds. He loves the people who believe. He loves the people who obey His commands and avoid His prohibitions and stay within the bounds of... Yeah, so He loves, but the love that is befitting of Allah. Well, Allah is divine. His knowledge is divine. His actions are divine. So we say Allah loves, but His love is not like the defective love of creatures, of created beings, of human beings. But it is love. We affirm His love. We affirm whatever Allah has described Himself with, or whatever the Prophet ﷺ has described Him with. But we understand it in a way... In a way that can only be befitting to Him. Okay, we know that it's divine. So if you have any thought about the love of Allah that is corrupted, like the love of a human being, a man loves, for example, loves a woman with a passion that actually reached the level of sickness. That's not, we can't ascribe that kind of love to Allah. So we don't understand Allah's love with that kind of meaning. But we keep it on a high level, a lofty, sublime, high level that's befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'am akhi. Yani the Shaykh said this, and some scholars said other hadith, different hadith that they have mentioned. This is one of the hadith that Shaykh Salih Fawzan said is from those four hadith. the first hadith that we took in this session, yani in the last few weeks, is one of those hadith. In al halal bayin, or in al haram bayin. Yani that which is halal is clear and that which is haram is clear. That hadith is one of them. And he also said this hadith is one of them. And also from those hadith, some of the scholars said from those hadith is إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ لِمْرِيٍ مَا نَوَاتِ. To the end of the hadith, what Umar ibn Khattab said, that very actions are judged by intentions. And the person will have that which he has intended. To the end of the hadith. And also some of the scholars said that from those hadith is مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُ رَدٌّ. That whoever innovates something in this matter of ours that's not from it, then it will be rejected. And some of the scholars said different hadith. There's not total agreement on that. But these are some of the hadith that are considered to be foundations of Islam. These are some of them. And Allah knows best. Na'am. Amir.
When I ask you, when you say that loving what the people have, or earn the love of the people, I'll give you an example. One time I was in a car with a brother. He owned a BMW, and he kept telling me about, he kept insinuating about his car.
No.
And my thing was just to say, Barakallah feek, but I didn't want to say to him, oh, this is a nice car, you know, so on and so on.
No.
Because I could care less about the car.
No.
So what do you...
But he was trying to bring forth about his car. He wanted you to recognize his car. And you were just saying, Barakallah feekum. And he wanted you to say, look at your car is nice. I like this, huh?
Yeah, I guess he wanted to open up some kind of conversation. So
Allahu alam. Allahu alam. In any case, Akhi, the thing is this. There's no doubt that there are many people who have worldly possessions that they love. And they like people to acknowledge it. And to praise it. And to glorify them for having it. But they don't want you to ask for it though. That's different. Okay, that's two different things. The people want you to praise them for what they have, but they don't want you to ask, can I have it? They just want you to say, mashallah, your car is nice. I like that. Man, that's beautiful. That's wonderful. But if you say, can I have your car? She look at you like you lost your mind. Kings County Hospital. We have to stop, inshallah. Last, okay, we take the last three questions down. Jabir.
Is there an exception asking the people when it comes to now?
It's an exception now. Exception asking the people now. We talked about before asking, you know, the prohibition of asking, this whole subject in detail in the previous hadith in the second session. Second course that we took before this one. And some of the scholars said that asking for the wealth and property of the people, you know, has different degrees and there's different types. And from amongst that is asking for knowledge. And even the asking for knowledge should be asking for that what you need to know and asking about real situations and not just asking about make-believe, hypothetical, theoretical, what if this or what if that. But certainly asking for knowledge is a right of the people. It's an obligation of the people that you should ask if you don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلُ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. If you don't know, you must ask the people of knowledge. So it's obligatory. It's obligatory for a person to ask if they don't know. Now, asking, that's different. Asking for knowledge. The person who doesn't know, not only is it permissible to ask the people of knowledge, they should ask the people of knowledge. Not only is it permissible to ask, it's obligatory to ask. It's obligatory to ask. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ said, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيدَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. That seeking knowledge is obligatory on every Muslim. So a person have to seek knowledge, and about the things they don't know, it's obligatory to ask. It's obligatory. And Elihu.
In dealing with, you mentioned about a necessity. Necessity would be relative to the individual, I would assume. I mean, if a person lives in a house and he's paying, say, $1,500 a month,